Chris Handberger has joined us on Sports Byline, a member of the NFL Hall of Fame. You had the nickname Hangman. Who gave that to you, and explain to everybody why you had that?
I don't know how that developed, but, you know, I'm not wasn't a very big professional football player as far as size is concerned. And I was playing a position where probably the linebackers in the league probably outweighed me by 25 to 35, 40 pounds. And it's the same thing going up against offensive players. There's some pretty big guys on the other side of that line. And I realized right away that I couldn't afford to miss a tackle, and I had less chance of missing a tackle if I stayed up and had contact with the player. I may get run over, but at least I'm going to make the tackle. And so from that standpoint, it's just one of those things that happened. I started taking my arm and swinging it and trying to catch them up high and get them to the ground. And I don't know how the hangman part came about, but I wasn't very excited about that. I don't think that's a very good nickname to have.
Chris, I know Washington, D.C., having been born there and spending a part of my childhood there, it's a very unique town. Now, I know every town who has a sports franchise, an NFL franchise, Green Bay, Chicago, they all have their own personality. But I always found Washington, D.C. to be a little bit different because of the political nature of the town. You had President Nixon sending over a play for George Allen to run in a ball game. I mean, you just don't see that happening every day. What was unique about Washington as far as a football town?
Well, I don't know about the politics of it. I certainly have never been a politician on anything, nor do I ever intend to be. But I think what made it, to me, that made it so unique was the fan support. Win or lose, those fans, when I played, were absolutely fantastic. And, I mean, I appreciated their support all along my career. It was just unbelievable. And the old stadium, RFK, of course, when you're out there playing, you're really not conscious of, you know, there's people in the stands, but you're concentrating on what's happening out there on that field. But you still, in RFK, you could not help but feel all the excitement that those fans had for the team and the noise that they could create and the fact that they could just get the stands shaking amazed me. But I think I was most captivated by the fans. They would always have been just so loyal and to the club through the good times and the bad times.
I remember as a kid going up to Philadelphia when you guys would play the Eagles, and we'd take the train to Philadelphia, and I remember the fans, you know, in a raucous way on that train. Did you guys used to travel to Philadelphia by train?
Oh, yeah. We did that, I think, one time. And on the way back, we were hooked on at the end of the train, and the couple of cars we had, if I remember, the air conditioning broke down. We opened the windows, and, of course, you know, this thing is rolling down the tracks. Cinders are coming up, blowing in the windows. It was miserable. And I think that's the last time we took a train ride, because it's only about a 30-minute flight by air. But we did make it by train one time.
Every team, of course, has its natural rival, and I don't think anybody who is a Redskin fan or a Dallas Cowboy fan will ever forget the great games between the Cowboys and the Redskins, played on Thanksgiving Day. Your memories about some of those games, and what made that rivalry, the Dallas-Washington rivalry, so good?
Well, I think it never, to my way of thinking, was really a rivalry. To me, it was another game. I was fortunate in the Pro Bowls that I went to. There were always a lot of Dallas players there because they had such great teams. And I got to know a lot of them. And, of course, Coach Allen used to put Dyron Talbert up to making statements in the press about Staubach and everything. And I think that's how it all kind of really got going. I know Coach Landry was somewhat paranoid of George Allen spying on his practices and everything else. I don't honestly know whether Coach Allen spied on him, had spies trying to watch him practice or anything or not, but I know that he took extra security precautions anytime he was going to play the Redskins.
Did Roger Staubach pose problems for you? He was a mobile quarterback, had a strong arm, smart, came out of the Naval Academy. How difficult was he to defend?
Well, they were one of the teams at that time that did a lot of shifting with their offense and players moving around and, you know, let them wear themselves out. If they want to line up and spend time shifting all over the place, let them do it. You don't even worry about it. It's once they get through doing all that running around, you just want to know where people are. That's what it boiled down to, and that's the way, from a defensive standpoint, we looked at it. We didn't pay any attention to all that jockeying around that they would do before they'd get a playoff. We just paid attention to when they got set. Where is everybody? But Staubach was, like you said, he was a very intelligent quarterback, and the fact that he could run with the ball, that presents a problem for a defense, whether it's Staubach or anybody else. I mean, he can wear the defensive lineman out, so you just have to be a little more careful, and especially the defensive linemen, when they rush, not to get out of their rushing lanes too far. And I mean, there's times in certain situations I can remember against him, we'd actually have what we call a spy person that would just sort of shadow him just in case he did pull the ball down and take off.
You had the opportunity to play in a Super Bowl. That was Super Bowl number 7, helping the Redskins go up against the Dolphins. But it was the year, of course, that the Dolphins went undefeated at 17-0, and that was the Garo game. What are your memories about that game?
We lost, and it possibly could have been a little worse than it was under the circumstances. But in the same token, we had a couple of good chances to win that game and just couldn't make the plays work. And we were fortunate to get 7 points. That came on that mishandled snap, I think it was, for a field goal attempt that got us the 7. I mean, they got 14 points against us, if I remember correctly. I remember when we went out to practice for that, there were people coming by trying to get us to wear their shoes. It was distractions, and that's no excuse for what happened. We just got beat by a great team. But what I thought was so funny, a lot of the things that they had that they wanted to give us in the way of items like a little travel bag or things like that, they were Dallas colors. They were so sure, these companies, that Dallas was going to go to the Super Bowl, and they were trying to push off the stuff they'd had made on for Dallas on us.
It's interesting that when you think about Super Bowl VII and you know, the size of it, it was just beginning to grow in popularity, and you think of the Super Bowl today, does it kind of blow your mind to think about where that game has gone and what it's become?
Well, I think everything's relative. I think football, professional football, has captivated the American audience and even the world audience. It's just a unique sport. And, yeah, I'm a little amazed by how popular it is, but I'm very thankful that it is so popular. And I know all the players playing today feel the same way. But it's... It's just grown to be an awfully big item on TV. I don't watch football hardly at all. I may watch a quarter, half a quarter. I can't remember when I've watched an entire football game since I retired or got fired from football. I just don't. I read about it in the paper, and that's about it. I watch the same thing with college games. I'll watch a quarter, maybe, at the most. I just don't have the patience to sit there and watch it. I don't watch baseball. I don't watch basketball. I'm actually a recluse, at least I think I am and hope I am, and just try to lead a simple, quiet life.
Well, Chris, I want to thank you very much for your time, also for your outstanding career. It was fun to watch you in Washington with the Redskins. Thank you for joining us on America's Sports Talk Show. Take care, Chris.
All right, thank you.
Chris Handberger, a member now of the NFL Hall of Fame. They called him the Hangman, and he was nicknamed the Hangman due to his penchant for stopping ball carriers with clothesline tackles, which were then legal in the era that he played. He played 14 years in the NFL after being drafted out of North Carolina. He had gone into Army for a couple years. He was drafted in the 18th round and went on to have an outstanding career as an outside linebacker. We continue with more of you in Sports Byline.